This is episode number 24.
Welcome to the Sprouting Minds podcast. I am your host, Diego Neverlose Cruz, and each week I offer you a new perspective or a message to help you realize your inner goat. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now enjoy the episode. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sprouting Minds podcast. We have a real special conversation coming right up with Dana Marr. After speaking with Dane, it was clear how humble and how genuine he is as a person. I wish him nothing but great things. I'm so excited for his upcoming projects, which you'll hear about in the show. If you find value in this conversation, make sure to share the episode with someone who you think needs to hear. A quick reminder to subscribe to the Sprouting Minds podcast if this is your first time hearing it. Rate it, review it if you're a fan or if you haven't done so yet. And without further ado, let's get right into the show. All right, welcome to the Sprouting Minds, Dana Marr.
Hey, bro, what's up? Thank you for having me, bro.
Oh, yeah, no worries, my man. Introduce yourself to the people who are hearing about you for the first time.
Yo, what's up? I'm Dana Marr. I'm a rapper, singer, songwriter, born and raised in San Diego, California, but I have recently relocated to Los Angeles. I make kind of like a hip-hop, R&B, pop hybrid. I do like a lot of different things. I don't like to tie myself to one genre or like what kind of music I make. I just call myself an artist in general, but yeah, I'm Dana Marr. I'm an artist out of San Diego, California. Recently relocated to LA and just chasing my dreams every day, bro.
Yeah, that's what's up, my man. That's what's up. And we were talking before this, but we basically went to the same, like, we're the same. I'm a year older than you, but we went to the same. I saw you and I was in eighth grade and you were at the talent show and you were in seventh grade. And I thought to myself, like, damn, this seventh grader is out here, like, he's going hard for seventh grade. I was like, damn, okay. And then it's just crazy to know, like, fucking 10 years later, you're still doing this shit, and now you're starting to get somewhere. So that's so awesome that I'm interviewing now, and I'm so awesome to get to talk to you now.
Dude, that, like, for real gave me chills because that was, like, my first performance ever, like, ever.
So really,
like,
dude?
Remember that, bro. That's, like, day one. Like, that was the first time I ever rapped in front of anyone.
Yeah. Oh my. How'd you feel like as a seventh grader up there, like in front of everyone in the middle school?
I was like hella nervous, but I was with it though. I was like, all right, bro, I signed up for this. So
yeah.
Be ready for it, you know, out of the way.
Yeah. Damn. That's so cool. We'll dig into the how it feels to be on stage later. But that's crazy to know that was your first time on stage.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. And, like, I don't know, but it was a great show. People liked it a lot.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, I was happy with the result, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So let's dive into the music, how you got into music. You've talked about in previous interviews that, you know, you were drawn to music at an early age watching 106 in Park with your uncles.
Yeah.
That's how you got interested in music. At what age then did you realize music was going to be more than a hobby? You're going to make this your lifestyle?
I think when I got to about like in eighth grade, mm-hmm. I don't remember, but they make you take like that career test. Mm-hmm. Not even career test. It was like a middle school test to see what high school would fit your personality the best, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got SCPA, which was a creative and performing arts school out in San Diego.
Yeah.
And before that, like, I've heard of it, but I never thought, like, yeah, I can't go there. Like, I can't afford that. There's no, like, way I can get in. Mm-hmm. Doing more research, I found out that it was more like a public school. You just have to audition to get in, but it's still, like, a public school.
Oh, wow.
So during that eighth grade test, that's the one that it told me to go to. I auditioned. I got in there, and I think – around the middle of that year, bro, the beginning of that year when Drake dropped Take Care.
Yeah.
He had this bar in Underground Kings talking about, like, why was he in school if everyone he's around is rocking, like, gold chains and like gold teeth, fucking furs and everything, you know, like my class, this is who I'm trying to be like, which is exactly what he said. And I don't know, bro, in ninth grade, that just resonated with me. And I'm like, why am I in class? This is who I'm trying to be like. Drake is trying to be like these guys. I'm trying to be like Drake. So you feel me? So
Yeah. Let me do what Drake is doing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in ninth grade, something just switched in my head where I was like, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this forever.
And for ninth grade, you've been taking it serious, huh?
Yeah. I mean, even when I first started out, bro, like in sixth grade, I didn't see another thing other than music, you know, like once I got into music, it was just tunnel vision. Like that's the only thing I would do.
It became your consuming passion.
Yeah. Since bro, like you could ask anyone I was around, like it definitely kept me out of gang stuff. It definitely kept me out of like violence as much as possible. There's still like things that happened in my life, obviously, but there's not like things that I was directly in. Like I wasn't out starting shit, you know, it was just shit I was around, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome to hear that music took you away from that certain lifestyle, you know? I mean, you talk about it a little bit, how you are kind of around that gang influence. What, who guided you down this artist path? Or was it kind of just a solo thing that you found on yourself? Like, damn, music is fucking what I'm into. Let me just see what the fuck it takes me, where it takes me. Or does someone kind of guide you?
There was no actual guide. Like, my dad, my biological dad, he is a Lao singer and he's pretty famous out in Lao. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of famous in like our country, you know, not like big out here. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have anyone to guide me in the way that I wanted it to be guided, which sucked, but that's actually why I'm such a multifaceted artist. That's why I know how to edit my own photos. That's why I know how to edit my own videos. That's why I know how to engineer my own vocals. That's why I know how to do everything myself, is because I didn't have anyone to guide me. So, you know, when you don't have anyone to guide you, it's either you give up or you just kind of learn yourself. And I really, really loved music. So I didn't want anything to stop me. Like, yeah, there was a learning curve. There's a learning curve no matter what. I still don't feel like I'm a good director, video editor. I feel like I'm halfway decent and everyone I'm around is better than me, you know? So I want to get to a level where I'm as good as everyone I'm around. Mm-hmm. And kind of like to outgrow that circle and just get better and just keep progressing all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you say then, growing up without guidance, then if you did have guidance, you'd be somewhere else then? Like, do you feel like, yeah, growing up without guidance made you who you are?
I feel like growing up without guidance is what made me hungrier than most. Like,
okay. Like,
I think if I did have that guidance, I wouldn't be as hungry. Like, I would definitely be hungry. So I know that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, but I don't think I would have the drive that I have now and the drive that most people know me for.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like that's very common. I always thought like growing up in the hood was an advantage. You know, I never saw it as a disadvantage. You know what I mean? I never looked at my situation as a disadvantage, and I can tell you didn't either.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. No, I mean, where we grew up is where we grew up. You know, things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, shit happens, bro. Like, it's just, that's what it is. But, you know, it's not your environment, it's yourself and how you react to your environment. Mm-hmm. I have homies that tell me all the time that, like, they're trying to get out of gang shit, start rapping. And then I just tell them straight up, like, yo, if that's what you're trying to do, bro, then do it. Like, you know, like, there's no reason why you should not start, you know? Mm-hmm. I started with a Rock Band mic in a Windows computer.
What?
So, like, and now I'm getting stuff. Like, I'm waiting on a package, bro, of, like, my dream studio, dog. Like, I just dropped like $7,000. I emptied out my savings basically because I was just like, fuck it, I want to go all out. So I just took out my whole savings, bro, and I bought like a $3,000 mic.
I bought deserved
my room. Yeah, bro, I'm just like, I'm ready, bro. Like, this is time. Like, if I'm gonna go all out, I'm gonna go all out, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And you talked about humble beginnings, bro, and like, you've experienced some success. We talking about Green Tea and Honey. You got over 2 million streams now. I mean, you got number one song. Was the number one song in Thailand that I saw?
Yeah, number one on the Thailand top 100 viral charts.
That's crazy, dude. After experiencing that success, like, what's allowed you to, like, remain hungry? Like, because, like, I feel like a lot of people experience just that little bit of success and then be like, all right, I'm good. Let me take my foot off the gas.
I feel like it's scarier, honestly. I'm hella scared, bro. Like, I'm just like, how am I supposed to top this? Like, this is going really good. Like, I love the fact that it's growing super fast and super quick. Like, I'm thinking about in less than 7 months is going to hit 3 million plays, which is crazy. Because if you told me last year that I would have one song that hit 3 million plays last year within 7 months, I would probably believe you because I believed in myself. But, like, still, it would be hard to fathom, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think of it as, like, yeah, I did this. I made it. I think of it, yeah, I did this. What's next? Because now, you know, the only thing I begged for coming up was a chance to have a chance. Now I have the chance and I don't want to mess it up. So what do I do? And this is another thing where I don't have anyone guiding me. I don't have a manager. I have some homies that are bigger than me, but you know, like they don't, everyone's journey is different. Like they can't tell me which way to go. They don't, like, even if I ask for advice, like they could only give me what they've been through, you know, like not stuff that we could, like that I could just personally do and it would be a straight answer, like, oh yeah, that's what you got to do to get right, you know, like I don't know what's right, I don't know what's wrong, right. All what I'm doing so far is working, so why stop doing what I'm doing right now?
yeah good. keep popping them hits, bro.
I'm hoping to that's for
yeah
sure.
Yeah, I would say, man, like, do you feel like you have a lot of pressure? So you feel like you have a lot of pressure on you then?
Definitely a lot more pressure. Just like from people in the city, bro, like people in the city too in general, because I have people like younger kids than us that were probably like fourth graders when we were in middle school. Like they hit me up and they're like, yo, bro, like it's crazy. Like you're from Eastside and like you make me hella happy. Like the fact that you could do this, like I could do this. And now, like, I've always wanted that influence, but now that I have that influence, it's like I can't steer them wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I need to better myself as a person, which is the biggest thing. I feel like I usually post every day on Instagram, but lately I've been like kind of recluse, kind of building myself because I want to build myself up to be the best person I could be. Because now that I have all these, you know, like I have kids following me, bro. Like, you know, kids in the Philippines from other countries following me. I just don't want to do it wrong.
Damn, that's I wish I could offer you advice, but I'm not in that position to be like, damn, I got people behind me now, you know what I mean? I got a whole team behind me, I got kids following me.
Yeah, it's a different change, especially with how fast it did happen. But I feel like without the years of practice beforehand, this year I wouldn't be able to manage this year as well as I have been if I didn't have that 9-10 year like stack, you know, just getting ready.
Yeah like I said, I feel like you really can't mess this up, bro, because in the end, because I feel like you're still a kid, just, you know, we're still kids ourselves, you know what I mean? We're not 60 years old full of wisdom as much as we'd like to be, and we're still figuring shit out ourselves. And I feel like people look up to you. I feel like they feel like you're the big homie. You know what I mean? You're like, you're the big homie. Like, you're, yeah. So I feel like I said, we're still growing up ourselves. You can't really mess this up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's no right or wrong, I would say. Because I feel like you're such a humble dude. You know what I mean? To put in that work for the past 10 years, like, come on, dude. Like, what's to hate on that? You know, you can't hate on that for sure. You know what I mean?
I don't know if people hate on me. If they do, like, there are going to be people that hate on you no matter what. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it is, like, sometimes it is the people that, like, are around you growing up, just because, you know, if you guys came from the same place, how come you're doing better than someone
who's not? Yeah.
I haven't seen too much of it, but the ones that I have seen, like, it definitely hurt a little more because it was from someone that was closer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But yeah, let's talk this a little bit. Let's talk about your music and what artist has influenced you, your way of thinking, your way of making music, your way of being.
Yeah. So, man, like I said before, Drake was a big influence on me growing up. Drake was someone that I just felt like he could never miss, you know, like he still hasn't missed. Like, he's still making hits. He's still bringing up people. He's still with the youth with it. It's crazy, but Drake is a big influence on me. Let's see who else. Right now, I'm really feeling Blast. He's a newer artist, but he's super good.
Blast?
Blast. B-L-X-S-T.
Okay. I'm gonna check him out.
Crazy. He's underrated right now, bro, but I promise you, within this next year, dog, like, blowing, soaring. He's amazing. He's so good. Let's see. Nipsey Hussle inspired me a lot. Like, my way of thinking, for sure. I try to absorb as much knowledge as I can from people like Nipsey, from people like Kobe, the people that put the grind first and know that, you know, like, you got to put in all this back end to get the front. So that, you know, like, nothing comes easy. Nothing comes to you directly. I've the most money I've made from music is this year. But before that, I've made $2,000 in the span of 10 years. Like, that's nothing. Yeah, like, you're like, you know, that's like, that's nothing. That's $20 a year, maybe.
So do you feel like it was the love then that carried you through it then?
Yeah, bro, you gotta love what you do, because even if you do make it big with this, like, you're gonna hate it. Like, sooner or later, you're gonna hate it having to do it every day. You have to love it. But yeah, so it's the love that got me, and just the people that I look up to, like Drake, Lil Wayne, Mac Miller.
And what way do they influence you? In what way, specific ways?
So Drake, for sure, and like the more melodic stuff, like I try to tackle my stuff like that. Mac Miller is just like an overall vibe, bro. Like, I just feel like we exude the same aura. Like, I feel like me and Mac Miller's music are very similar. Like, you could put us in the same playlist and it would just go really well.
Bro, I was listening, bro, it's crazy that you say that, because I was bumping your past death, was it called? Yeah, your past death, and I was bumping it on the JBL speaker, and my girl was like, I'm getting a Mac Miller vibe, like, and I was, so it's crazy that you say that, bro. And let me just say, the listeners, please listen to Past That, bro. That shit slaps. It was a vibe for sure.
Bro, thank you. It is still like a slept-on album, but it's totally fine. Like, you know, I feel like once it does pop off, people are just gonna go back and hear the songs that I did make, and they'll still like the ones that are older as much as they like the newer ones, which has happened. And like, a lot of people like the stuff I made in 2016, which I think is like super cringy, but I can mess. I'm just like, okay, I'll keep it up, even though I want to delete it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. I get what you mean by that. I get what you mean. But please listen to Past Death.
Yeah, please. Bump that.
No, because I listened to that album when I was working, and I was like, you cannot be mad while listening to Dana Mar. Like, there's no way you can have like an angry face while listening to Dana Mar. Like, bro, it's instantly pick me up. Like, if you're sad, if you're angry, I promise you, put on Past That, lift your spirits right up.
Yo, that makes me hella happy, because that's what I want to exude, bro. Just a good vibe. You feel me? Yeah. Like, I want you to chill, like, with the homies. I want you to roll a blunt, kick it. You feel me? Like,
just, yeah, yeah. speaking about that, do you, like, when you create music, do you create for other people, or is it, do you create it just for yourself and just like think about that if people are gonna like it later on?
It depends. Like, okay, so I've done both, where I have created for someone specifically, and I'm not the type of artist that could help you convey your message. You feel me? Like, there's some, like, writers are a specific type of artist where they could help convey the message that you're trying to output and put it out. I feel like I could do it to a good degree, but I'm just not the best at it. You feel me? Yeah, it's not the same. So I personally like making music for myself. And if it just doesn't feel like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is too poppy for me. Oh, this is too boom bappy for me. Maybe I'll send it out and see if I can get a placement or something. That's when I'll do it. But I'm not like an avid person of writing for someone else. I have done it. I don't mind doing it. I just don't think it's my lane, per se. I would love for it to be my lane, you know, but I just need more sessions. As of right now, I'm not really feeling it. So I usually just make stuff for myself.
Mm-hmm. And when do you feel like you do your best work?
It just comes, bro. Like, I don't know how to really explain it. Like, Green Tea and, yeah, it just comes. Green Tea and Honey took like 15 minutes to write.
Wow.
Yeah, I recorded it. I wrote it on my way to work that morning. So, yeah, bro, crazy. Green Tea and Honey was super quick. Like, I just think it comes, like, but, you know, you can't just sit around waiting for that moment for a song to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always in the studio, bro. My house is my studio. Like, I mean, you can kind of tell through the thing right now, but, like, you know, yeah. Like, I have my whole studio set up. I just bought more studio equipment. Like, I don't go to the studio. Like, I am the studio. Wherever I go is where I'm going to record, you know?
Yeah. I think that's how it has to be in 2020, too. Yeah, you know
what I mean? You have to do everything yourself. I mean, like, thankfully, now I have people who are willing to help me, who want to do, like, things for me. And, like, we'll work stuff out, like, payment-wise and stuff later on. But the fact that I have people reaching out to help definitely helps me out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on it a little bit right now when you said when you wrote Green Tea and Honey in 15 minutes while driving to work. When you wrote it, bro, did you know it was going to be, like, you knew it. Boom.
I just knew it was special. Like, I just knew, like, damn, this one's fucking hard. Like, I was just, like, damn, like, why is this, like, this one just, like, it just, there's a feeling to it. Like, I just love it. It's so warm. And then, like, the girl I wrote it for, like, she didn't really like it like that.
Wow.
Yeah, bro. Like, he said she liked it.
Yeah.
We were still kind of talking, and then I dropped it on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, it wasn't supposed to drop on Valentine's Day. It was supposed to drop the week before, but I got dates switched up, and, like, you have to have a specific amount of time for, like, Spotify and Apple to get it, which is, like, 2.5 weeks. So by the time I did it, Valentine's Day was the earliest I can get it up. So put it up on Valentine's Day. Hella people liked it, bro. I'm talking, like, I got so much love. I got more love on Green Tea and Honey when it dropped than Past Death. Like, wow. There was a lot of love on Green Tea. So I just knew it was something special. And, like, yeah, bro, it's just what it is.
After that, huh?
And, like, it's just, it is what it is now. I love it, though. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to it this morning. And, like, it's just a fucking, like you said, it's a, it's good feeling, dude. Good feeling, dude.
Vibe. I don't know what it is. It's just a vibe. Like, it just feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Is that, would you say Green Tea and Honey then is your personal favorite? Like, that's the track you're most proud of? Or is there another one that people don't really know about that, like, you just feel really proud about?
It changes, like, all the time. It changes all the time. So, like, Green Tea and Honey, like, right now, yeah, for sure. But tomorrow it could be, like, DM Shawty from Past Death, you know? Or it could be this new one that I have coming out soon called PCH that I think is great. Like, I think I have a lot of new music coming out that's, I think, is some of my best work, and I'm very excited for it.
Mm, you want to talk about that a little bit? What can we expect from you?
Yeah, so definitely you can expect a album. I'm actually coming out with another album. But this album, it's different. I'm not going to drop it as a one whole album thing. I'm going to drop it over the course of 8 months.
Wow. So, you going future on me right now?
Yeah, so one song a month.
Okay.
So it's gonna start when I drop PCH, and PCH should be dropping hopefully mid-October. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. We gotta get more artwork. We're shooting the music video soon, so we might get the artwork from the music video, but we'll see what we want to do. But yeah, PCH is coming out. That's gonna be on the album. The album's called Parallels, and the concept is sick. It's basically like, I feel like I love making the Green Tea type music, bro. But, like, you know, like, we grew up in the hood. Like, you know, like it's cool. But, yeah. Like, I love making it. It's still, like, a way to express myself. But I love hood music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just love, like, that West Coast sound, like, that gritty sound. So, like, I want to do stuff like that. Like, I have producers from the Bay Area that I'm hitting up that I'm going to work with. Like, I don't know who I could get, but I'm going to try to get some people on a track, hopefully get some really cool, like, features. Like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to jinx it, but if I can get some, like, some really big Bay Area artists on it, like, that would be dope because I am getting a little bit more attention, so it might be down. Mm-hmm. But it's called Parallels. It's going to be three different sides of me. You guys are going to get the Green Tea and Honey. You guys are going to get the boom bap hip hop, like, the lyrical stuff that a lot of people like when I do it on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have, like, that, like, hardcore hustler, like, West Coast music on it too. So mm-hmm. In 8 months, you're going to hear all different types of sounds from me. And this album, the whole concept of it is different sounds. So you're not going to get one consistent sound from, like, one song's not going to be the same as another song. Maybe two in a row, but that's it. Like, it's going to be a completely different vibe every song.
How'd you come up with that concept?
I was just thinking, like, I need a concept. Like, I need to do something. And I just need to make something work where I could show all sides of myself, because I think I'm a really, like, I'm a diverse artist, you know? Like, I do more than this pop music. Like, I love making the pop music, but I'm really good at, like, lyrical rap.
I'm really good at like hustler music. Like I, cause I'm a hustler. I know how to get money if I need to get money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like now is the perfect time to release that, huh?
Yeah, man. Over the span of 8 months, I really think it's going to be good. I think people are going to like it. Each song is going to have a music video. So each one's going to have a visual.
Damn.
Every month there's going to be a visual dropping. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited. You're just fucking teasing over here. Like, woo. Yeah, yeah. That's going to be dope, bro. I can't wait to hear it. And you said it's going to be called Parallels?
The album is called Parallels, but each song is dropping like singles. So you might not even see the Parallels album yet until the album cover is done. Like, I gave the artist a lot of time because, yeah. Look, we're not even going to need it till like 8 months from now. So take your time, make it the best. Because this one's going to be like crazy. Sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, I'm excited for that. I'm sure your fans are excited for that. Let's talk about then your maturation as an artist. When we're going from seventh grade, Dana Mar to now, what are you, 23 years old now, bro?
23 years old now.
Ooh, so talk about that. From what's easy now that was impossible to you when you first got started?
I could sing way better now than when I first started. Like, I was such a bad singer. I don't think it was bad. I just was not confident in trying. And just, like, over time, practicing, I think I'm a really good singer now. Like, I think, like, it's arguably, like, I'm as good as a singer as I am a rapper now.
Oh, so, shit.
And I started out rapping. And, so I think my singing developed a lot more within that time. I think my lyrics, obviously, they had to get better. Because if I'm not getting better, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So, I think my delivery as like an overall artist, bro, I just think I grew so much within those like 10 years.
Talk about the struggles then. How do you keep focused? How do you keep doing something for 10 years? Because a lot of people won't do shit for that long. You know what I mean?
Bro, you just gotta be hungry, bro. You just gotta know. Like, bro, like I'm not there. I was given so many chances to give up, bro. I think the world was trying to see how bad I really wanted this. You probably don't remember because I don't think I forgot how our middle school had the lunch system, but it was hella weird. But I remember our lunches were like staggered, right? So there was sixth lunch, seventh lunch, and an eighth grade lunch.
Yeah.
So it was a seventh grade lunch. No, it was the sixth grade lunch, bro. This is when I first started rapping, like notebook and everything. I went up to the rapper of the school. I forgot his name, but I like challenged him to a rap battle. In front of everyone, bro, and I lost, terribly, bro. Like, I pulled out my notebook and started rapping, like, in the middle of the battle because I couldn't remember my lyrics, bro. Like, it was bad.
Stage fright?
I think it was stage fright. I'm trying to remember what it was. I can't – yeah, because it was the first time I had, like, that many eyes on me.
And that's your first battle, you said, going up?
Yeah, that was my first battle.
Hey, you got some balls in seventh grade. Fucking, hey, everybody post up right here. Battle.
So, yeah, I couldn't. So that was one of my no matter what you do, you're going to go through struggles. You know, there's going to be financial struggles. There's going to be family struggles. There's going to be so much. It's like, this year is one of the hardest years of my life, bro, even though it should be one of the best. You feel me? It is one of my best.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But, like, my cousin that I started rapping with, he passed away this year.
Mm.
So we started together because we were the same age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
He passed away this year, and that was super hard on me, bro. Like, I was like, damn, like, I just lost like one of my brothers. Like, that's like crazy. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And he got shot. So I was just like, even more, it's just like, what the fuck, bro? Like, for real?
Mm-hmm.
But then this happened right when Green Tea and Honey was taking off. A week later, I hit number one on Thailand, bro, and I just cried. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, why? Like, how can I hit number one and still feel this bad? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
life is going to throw you shit that you don't think you can handle. And, like, I mean, to this day, I still don't know if I can handle some of the shit that it throws at me. But you just got to keep pushing. You know, like, if I give up now, I definitely lose. If I keep going, I have to hit it someday. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather hit it someday than definitely lose now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds like to me, dude, you know, we've only been talking for what, 30 minutes? I don't know. You sound like you've been doing it for the past 10 years. You sound so humble, dude. You still sound like the dude from San Diego, from the hood, you know, still humble, still hungry, still down to earth, super down to earth, bro. And I feel like like you said, if you have the perfect attitude for this, right? You know what I mean? You have the perfect attitude for this. And so condolences on your brother. I feel like keep going. You know what I mean? Keep going. I want to see you represent the area that you come from. And I want to see you hella, you know, because like we were talking earlier, you have kids that look up to you. You know what I mean? And so that's all. Keep going. You know what I mean? You have a lot of people that look up to you. You're like, I feel like you got that little nip legacy building. You know what I mean?
Hey, bro. That's like a huge compliment. So thank you. I really do appreciate
No, yeah, no worries. And that's true shit too. You know what I mean? And I think anybody who talks to you can easily pick off that sense from you. Yeah. So, Thank you. Let's switch the subject a little bit. Talk about the experience of being on stage, because I feel like for a lot of people, just the thought of being on stage is scary as shit. So talk about you being on stage and then doing shows for people too, because that shit's crazy.
So that's actually something that got way better over time too. I was so bad. I had terrible stage fright. It really is like an art. You know, like people think like, oh yeah, he's so cool. Oh, he gets paid to go on stage for an hour. Like, bro, that hour is very heavy. Like that hour is so like, yo, after that hour, you don't want to do shit for the whole day. Like you're done, you know? Cause like, if you're doing a show, right. I mean, if you're like putting your heart on that stage, you know?
Yeah.
And rocking that crowd. Like crowd control is a very hard thing to do. I feel like it looks easy, but it's one of the hardest things to do right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Performing is just like, I guess to explain it the best, it's kind of like people who like roller coasters.
Okay. Okay. I get what you're saying. That stomach feeling.
Yeah. They just love it. That's what I love. Like I hate roller coasters.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Cause it is that kind of same like butterflies in my stomach. Like, oh my gosh, like, what's going to happen, you know? And the drop is kind of like when you're on stage. And when you're on stage, if you practice enough, which you should be practicing for your show, you can't just go, like, practice the night before, which I was doing. But now I'm, like, trying to do all out. Like, I'm actually about to get a whole stage set up, like, for when I practice my shows. Not for when I do shows. They'll have their own stuff. But I want, like, my own mic so I can rehearse, like, what I want to do on stage, all that. So, like,
that's full immersion. God damn. I fuck with that.
I want to go all in, man. Like, I need to – I'm not the best stage before. I'm good, but I'm not the best. Yeah. And I need to know where my limits are. I think I run out of breath a little too fast, so I need to start my cardio up a little bit more. Start keto again starting next week. I'm about to get really back on my health tip just because I need to. You know, just for doing shows later on, just for staying healthy in general. Like, you have to. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, health is a long, or if you want to do this, if you want to be an artist for a long term, for the long term, you want to be rocking shows for the long term, you want to be in the studio for a long term, you better have health on your side, because if it isn't, you're going to be spending a lot of time stuck at home sick or in the hospital sick. Would you say that you're a studio type of guy or a stage guy? Because some people, you know, some artists, I feel like, do it for the love of rocking a show, and some people do it for the love of the art.
I love both, bro. I love both, but I do love being in the studio more. I love creating something from nothing. I do love hearing people, like, you know, love the songs and, like, oh my gosh, like, scream along. Like, it's dope, bro. It's so dope. But I think if I was to only choose one, then I would be in the studio, but I love both equally, for sure.
Would you say you love that feeling then of, like, just proving to yourself that you could fucking, like you said, bring nothing into something, into real life?
Exactly, bro. And sometimes you can't, and that's a frustrating thing, and sometimes you will get mad, but like,
what do you do when you run into that, when you're fucking just frustrated?
I'll do nothing. I don't force it, bro. If I really like cannot do it, like, I try. I'll try like a good 3 times, and if like whatever I'm making or whatever just doesn't come out good, I'm just like, all right, bro, it's just not time for right now. So I'll kick it, put on like Netflix or something, and just kick it, get high.
Take it off the subject, yeah.
Not even think about it. Research other things, because I am interested in other things like cameras and all that too. So
yeah, what else are you interested in? I want people to know the human side of you.
Yeah, bro. bro. So I'm really interested in like photography and videography, really into cameras. I watch stuff about cameras every day. My full-time job right now is a video editor. So it is something that I'm super into. I love videos. I love like having the highest quality stuff. I'm trying to get this camera that shoots like 8K video.
Damn.
Hello money, but I don't know if I'm going, like maybe down the line, maybe like next year. But yeah, bro, I'm trying to like, I don't know. I just love it. Like I try to make all my videos have really good quality. Try to. Sometimes I just want to do my iPhone because it's more convenient, you know?
But yeah. I feel you on that. So you're hands on then when you create your own videos?
Yeah, when I do my own, but I also like work with teams like I do with the Popeye Media team. So like when we work, we're super like hands on, or I just like kind of let them do their thing and I just kind of take my whole mind off that creative side. But I have to trust you if I'm going to do that. Like Popeye Media, they did the Please Don't video. Mm-hmm. They did the Don't Get Attached video. They did a bunch of dope videos for me. So I trust them. I know that like, look, if I have this song, me and you are going to have a similar vibe. I don't have an idea for the music video, but you might. So I'm going to trust you. I'm with everything, 100% creative control, bro. Whatever you want to do, let me know. I'm with it. We'll do it. Like, give me a budget as long as it's under, like, I give them an amount. Like, lately it's been going up a little more because I can afford more, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But like, before it was like, yo, under $500, like, whatever we could do, like, that's all you, like, you know. Now it's like under $1,500, whatever you want to do. Like, it's raising slowly but surely, and hopefully you can get to a point where I could pay them more than they need, you feel me? Like, that's what I want to get. I want to get to a point where I can pay back the homies that helped me coming up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether that's jobs or, like, by the time that I could afford bigger jobs, I could pay them more. We could have an actual budget and money to have, not just, you know, not just budget for the video and we spend it solely on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Sweet spoken, like a true leader, my man. I love that. Just talk about, because a lot of people, I feel like, don't know that you were on a Korean rap TV show. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, that was a crazy experience, bro. It was super different. So I was on this rap Korean TV show called Show Me the Money for 2 seasons. I was on season 5 and season 6. Met some dope people there, bro. I still keep in contact with them. Shout out to homie Juno Flo if he hears this, bro. He's super dope. Me and him are probably going to be working on something soon. But yeah, man, it was a different experience. Like, they took me out to Korea to be at the TV station and perform. It was crazy. I met Jay Park. I met Dean, all these like Korean stars. I met Timbaland.
Wow. The producer?
Yeah. Which was insane, bro. I got to tell him that, like, yo, one day my uncle told me I would meet you. I just want to say, like, thank you. We're here now. You
feel me? Yeah. That man is legendary.
I plan to meet him again soon, hopefully. You know, like, he's not – I don't feel like – I feel like the best is yet to come for me. That makes sense. Not to be in a cocky way that it is coming for me, but in the sense that, like, this is only – this is just, like, scratching the surface. And I think other people see that as well, too, because I don't plan, like, stopping here, you know? Like, I want to be one of the ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Top 4 when people are, like – undeniably, like right now, if you tell me top 4, pick a top 4, who's the hottest in the game? Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, Big Sean. You could interchange Big Sean and Travis Scott, but yeah.
Yeah, you want, yeah. And talk about that, because I feel like there's not a lot of like even Asian artists in the music, in the American music industry. And speaking on that, like to get more specific, you're Lao. So talk about how that feels to represent your Lao culture and to represent the San Diego area in general.
Yeah, it's weird, bro. It's different. Because like, I'm not fully immersed in the Lao culture. You know, like I am, well, okay, I don't want to say that. I grew up like Lao, everything, you feel me? But like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know too much about it. Sadly, I want to know more about it. I'm trying to learn more about it. But as of right now, like, I'm still pretty like naive to a lot of things that happen. I'm
Americanized.
Yeah, I'm super Americanized, bro. I was born and raised here. Like, this is what I know. I'm barely learning about the wars that happened out there. Like, I'm barely learning about things, and like, I'm honestly trying things, because before it was like, damn, I don't want to try that, that's weird, like, why is that weird though, you know? Like, I was just really Americanized, bro, and I didn't like it. So like, now I'm trying to finally dig deeper into myself and do that. But it's different, man. It's I feel like people expect a lot and I can't really provide.
Mm-hmm.
But I rep it, like, it's not like I'm hiding the fact that I'm Lao, you know? Like, I'm just, if people ask me, I'm not gonna hide it.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I'm the loud rapper. Like, you know, like, that's just what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't like to pigeonhole yourself like, oh, I'm the loud rapper. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't even like to pigeonhole myself as like an artist, bro. Like, I don't like when people ask me my genre, I never know what to say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, I just kind of do my thing. Like, you know, like people, I guess, can categorize me as like pop for right now. But like, what if when I do my hip hop stuff, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, there's no way I could be officially categorized, in my opinion. But
I mean, that's a sign of a true artist. You know what I mean? Yeah. So keep with it. Let's talk about, we talked about it. I mean, we alluded to it throughout the show a little bit. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind for yourself, the family, people around you?
I want to be like a Drake, bro. I want to be like a Snoop, just like a living legend, a Snoop, a Ice Cube, like what he did, what I did for the culture of hip hop, which I am a guest in, you know, like I'm not like, I'm Asian. You feel me? Like I'm not black. It's a black culture.
Yeah.
So I just want to pivot it in a way that just kind of that exceeds the culture and not hurts it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 And then, what advice do you have for any aspiring musicians who are barely getting started?
You're gonna go through a lot of trouble. There's tough times for sure along the road, but there's a lot of good times too. You're going to think about the negatives more than you think about the positives, like every normal human, but you got to remember that you have to keep going, keep striving for it, because the best artists are the ones who didn't quit. And honestly, if you have the heart to persevere, then I feel like you could achieve anything you want in life. And that's what I'm going by. And so far it's working for me. So hopefully it just keeps working, and I'm striving to be one of the best ever. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see in the next 10 years what happens. But
yeah,
that's my goal.
Wise words from Dana Mar. I like that. And then I've got a few more questions here. One for the fans. If the fans could know one thing about you, what would you want them to know about you that they don't already know?
I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty open. I don't like papaya salad.
What? You did not say that.
I'm just not the fan, bro. Like, I don't know. I'm just not. Like, I never was. Growing up, I never was.
Oh, man. I love papaya salad, bro. That shit's my... I love it. I love the fish sauce. What don't you love about it?
I don't know. It's just not something that ever intrigued me in any way. And whatever. Friday, it's just like I was like, yeah, that's not it.
I love that. That's hilarious. All right, I love that.
When I'm on a date and the girl likes it, like I'll be like, yeah, this is fire. I'm not gonna say like I don't like it in front of her. I'm just gonna eat it. Like,
power through it.
Exactly, bro. It's not like non-palatable. Like, <it's,
laughs> I feel like it's edible to you, but you don't really enjoy it. All right, my man. And then I just want to acknowledge you before I ask you the last question, because like we spoke earlier, you were in seventh grade and I was in eighth grade, and we were at a talent show, and you were up there as a seventh grader spitting in front of the whole school, and I was like, damn. First of all, a lot of balls for a seventh grader to come up here and rap in front of everyone, and then on top of that, to be actually really good. And to know, yeah, 10 years down the line, you're still doing this and you're finally getting, your name is finally getting recognized. That's amazing to hear. Just because we grew up in the same area. And so I know what kind of things we ran into, you know? And so it's amazing. I'm just so proud of you, bro. And I think the whole community is proud of you. And we're so excited to see where you can go from this and see where you can take your platform. And I think you have hella people behind you that are rooting for you and that will help you at any moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro,
so again, I just want to acknowledge you.
I hella appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries, my man. And then last question, what is your definition of success?
Making sure that everyone I love is taken care of, to the point that they don't have to stress about anything anymore. and just being happy, bro. Like, I feel like I'm happiest whenever I get to spend time with my family. So, you know, like, now it's hard because I'd see my family maybe once a month when I used to see them every day. So it's a lot different. But my term of success is just being able to spend time with my family. But I want to get them out of a place because, you know, we still live in Eastside. We're still doing the Eastside things. But, you know, I'm the one that, like, kind of made it out. And I'm just trying to get more money so I could take them out too.
Mm-hmm.
So my definition of success is taking care of everyone around you, making sure they're good, like, for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just being around family.
Mad respect. That's mad respect. Mad respect. Guys, check out Dana Mar if you haven't. Check out Past Death. Check out Green Tea and Honey. Links will be in the show notes. Oh, real quick, where can people follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere. My at is the same. So it's at Dana Mar, DaneAmar.
All right. And links will be in the show notes, guys. Please check him out. Real humble dude. Real hungry dude. Been doing it for the longest, 10 years under his belt. He's got more to come. Albums coming out. Parallels. Check it out. Any last words?
Nah, just keep running for your dreams, man. Don't stop. Don't ever stop.
Yeah. Thank you, Dana Mar. This has been an amazing conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, bro. Peace out.
Family, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. Make sure to share it with someone who you think will find value in it. Check out Dana Mar on his socials. Links are in the show notes. Guys, check out all of his work. When I say that you can't listen to his music while being angry or while being sad, I promise you his music is a pick-me-up. And I always talk about how we need to be able to change, or I've talked about in previous episodes, that we need to be able to change our feelings. That's emotional mastery. And I promise you, once you throw on a little bit of Dana Mar, you're going to be feeling a little bit better. I'll say that much. What was the most valuable thing you heard today? Drop it in the review section. Let us know what you thought about the episode on Instagram at Sprouting Minds Podcast. You know what time it is, folks. Boss up. Show the world the goat in you. Until next time, Kai Zen.